Thank you, Amy, and your team. Thank you for being here tonight. It's good to see Caesar and Dina all the way from Cape Town. That's where you should be, sitting right there. I need one amen. Oh. Okay. And if James were old enough, he would have given one too, huh? Make that three. Well, if you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps or whatever you use to read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first five verses. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. So clearly Paul has already been speaking to them about this. We have instructed you, and the question in which he instructed them was how to please God. And they are doing that. But now do this more and more. For you'll know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It was must have been when he was living there, starting the church. He'd given them the instructions, so they knew it. And here it is. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Clear statement of what God's will is. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that's just as far as we're going to read tonight. As Jan said, we're starting a new series, and as a pastor, one of the most frequently asked questions concerns God's will for our lives. People want to know what God's will for their lives is. And normally, the one who wants to know has got this decision that they need to make. And so the question is, often along these lines, how can I find out what God wants me to do? And so they might be in relationship with a boy or girl and they want to know, do you think God wants me to marry this person? I need to know the will of God for my future. They got a job offer and they like their job, but do you think the Lord wants me to take this job? At Stellenbosch, in a university context, it was always, you know, what does God want me to do now? Or what form of study should I take? What line of study should I take? They wanted to know what God's will for their lives was. Where should I live? I've got this opportunity to buy a house. Do you think God wants me to buy it? In other words, people generally want to know which choice they should make if they're confronted with three or four different choices. Which choice should I make? Which means that for most people, guidance is about God's will. Guidance is about God's will. In most instances, the question is, how can I get God to show me what I must do? How can I hear the voice of God? How can I understand the will of God for my life? Now, we will look at that. We will look at the area of guidance in the series. But firstly, we need to understand something. The Bible, in fact, teaches less about what we must do. You know, we've got these number of choices. The Bible is less concerned about what we must do and is more concerned about who are we to be? What kind of people are we to be? Now, is that a biblical statement that I've just made, that the Bible is more concerned about who we are to be rather than what we must do? Well, there's only two places in the New Testament where we find the phrase, this is the will of God. And we're going to look at the one tonight. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. It is God, it's clear. I mean, that's not rocket science. You don't even have to be a native English speaker in order to understand that it is the will of God that you should be sanctified. Now, that's really clear, except maybe for the word sanctification. That's a word which maybe we're not going to use in everyday life. You know, when did you last use the word sanctification in a normal conversation? Well, that word sanctification is the same word that is also translated holy. So that's what the word means. It is God's will that you should be holy. But what does holy mean? Does that give us a greater understanding of what God's will for our lives is? Because most people think of, when they hear the word holy, they think about pious, they think about religious, they think about saintly, they think about devout. And I guess there is an element of those in the word holy, but actually the word holy is very simple. It simply means to be set apart. That's what the word holy means. That's what it means to be sanctified. It means to be set apart. It means to be different. That's all. These other words which are associated with it, concepts associated with it, are associated with the word holy because often the word holy is used in relationship to God. But the word holy, sanctification, simply means to be set apart, to be different. And when the word is used in the Bible, it means set apart for God. Yet it's not just set apart to do anything, it's set apart for God. So it also has the idea of belonging to God. You'll see on your Bibles, and on many Bibles, it doesn't just have Bible, it's the Holy Bible. In other words, it's a book that belongs to God. When people speak about Israel, they often speak about the Holy Land. It's the land belonging to God. And when people speak about Jerusalem, they speak about the Holy City. It's a city belonging to God. They all have this in common. They belong to God. They are set apart for God and for His use. So we get back to the question, what is God's will for us? It is God's will that we should be sanctified. It is God's will that you should be holy. It is God's will that you should be set apart for God. It is God's will that you should belong to God. This is the will of God. So when we are talking about the will of God for our lives, well, this is the big one. The will of God is that we should be sanctified, set apart, belonging to God. Please understand this. When the Bible answers the question, what is God's will for my life? It has little to do with guidance and direction. It has to do with who we are. And quite clearly the answer is, we are those who belong to God. We are those who need to be set apart for God's use. Do we want to be in the will of God? Well, let's make sure that we are sanctified. In other words, let's make sure that we are holy. Let's make sure that we belong to God. Let's make sure that our lives and the things we do, the activities in which we are engage, please God. That is the will of God. What does living in a way that pleases God look like? Well, Jan spoke a couple of weeks ago about this whole concept of worship, and the text that he uses helps us to see how to be holy. The text he used was this. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is God's will for us? That we should be sanctified, that we should be holy, that we should be set apart, belonging to God. How do we do this? Well, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, God's will for us is that we give ourselves for His exclusive use. That's it. Give ourselves for His exclusive use. And if we have given all we are to God for His exclusive use, it brings with it a further commitment. I'm God's. Therefore, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't behave like the world behaves. This is the will of God for our lives. It's not only about a new job or the choice of a life's partner. It's about who we are. It's about how we live because of our relationship with Jesus. That's what the will of God is for our lives. And it's from that place of being in relationship with Jesus that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. This new series that we're doing is about determining the will of God for our lives. And mainly, we have come to think that it's about asking God, what shall I do with this choice or that choice? Mainly, that's what we think about. What study course are we going to select? What new job are we going to do? What life's partner and guidance? Because guidance is what that refers to. Guidance is part of it, and we're going to look at that. But it's not the only issue. When we look at the will of God for our lives, understanding God's guidance becomes a lot easier in the context of us being in relationship with Him, living lives that please Him. And Paul makes it clear, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact, he says to the Thessalonian Christians, you are doing, living a holy life. It simply means living a life that pleases God. And as we saw, Paul had already instructed them. He'd already given them the way they need to live. They told them about the kinds of lives they needed to be living to please God. You want to know what God's will is? It is God's will that we should all live God-pleasing life. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. And living a God-honoring, sanctified life starts when we offer our bodies, all we are, offer it to Him. And it continues as we live that out, not conformed to the pattern of this world. And what does that look like? Well, the Thessalonians knew, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. As in fact you are. Specifically, Paul reminds them, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, and that each of you should learn to control his own bodies in a way that is holy and honorable. How will we be living? If we want to be sure that we're living in God's will, how we will be living? If we want other people to know that we are living in God's will, that you should avoid sexual immorality. And each one of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. The center of that verse is that each of you should learn to control your own body. Now, we have five senses. We have the sense of smell, of touch, of sight, of hearing, of taste. And each one of our senses needs to be brought under our control. Well, ultimately under God's control, but we have got to take that control. And we control, for example, the things we look at. We control the things we listen to. We control the things we touch. And in our discussion a little bit later, we're going to explore the kinds of things that may include. But controlling our bodies means more than just the five senses. It also means controlling our minds, controlling our emotions, our heart. Why would we want to do that? Because it is God's will that you should be sanctified. In the time during which Paul lived and the environment in which Paul was writing was rife with sexual immorality. The sex god Aphrodite was worshipped, and she had there were these temples to Aphrodite, and they sent out temple prostitutes into the streets, and sexual intercourse was the way you would worship this goddess Aphrodite. And this was the environment in which Christians lived. And Christians are called to be different, not to conform to the patterns of this world. We are set apart for God, not conforming to the pattern of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your minds. And while we may not have sex goddesses sending out prostitutes today, actually things are not much different. You only have to think of the porn that's out there on the internet and is freely available. You only have to think of TV programs and movie where a couple go out and sex on the first date is like the normal thing. And so more and more Christian couples who are dating think it's okay to do that and not to wait for marriage. And we have the clear teaching of God. It is God's will that you should be sanctified and that you should avoid sexual immorality. And how are we going to do that? Each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. This is a series on discovering the will of God, and this is the will of God for our lives. Guidance does come into it, and we will look at that. But tonight, each of us can embrace the will of God. Right here, right tonight, we can recommit ourselves to a lifestyle of holiness. We can renounce anything in our lives which we know is not pleasing to God. You see, guidance, which is what we're also going to look at, but guidance is very easy. We won't struggle with guidance if we have this relationship with God, choosing to live in a way that pleases Him. The proverb says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, the things that we desire are going to be things that God desires for us. He's going to give them to us, and we will know about guidance easily when our relationship with God is one that pleases Him. It is God's will for us that we should be sanctified. And just before we go to our discussion, let's just spend a moment right now recommitting ourselves to a lifestyle of holiness. Let's spend a few moments in silence. Heavenly Father, it is your greatest desire for us that we should enjoy life. You told us very plainly, I have come that you may have life, more and better life than you ever dreamed possible. That is your desire, your will for us, Lord. And we need to trust you. We need to trust you, Lord, that the things you ask us to let go are things that ultimately do not lead to the wonderful life that you have planned for us. They seem to offer such joy and pleasure, but ultimately, Lord, they lead to heartbreak and brokenness. Lord Jesus, tonight we recommit ourselves to sanctification because we understand it is God's will for you that you are sanctified. So help us to do that, and help us just to discuss practically how we can do that as we look at the questions. In Jesus' name, amen.